Exclusion Zone, written by J.M. Hewitt and read by Antonia Willens.
Chernobyl, 2015. With no law enforcement willing to go in the exclusion zone, a spate of murders are going almost unnoticed. Pripyat, Chernobyl, April 26, 1986.
Wake up! The roof is on fire!
I am so far in sleep that she actually appears in my dream, and I carry on in blissful slumber, only stirring when she shakes my sleeping form.
Sissy, wake up!
I groan and poke my head out from the blankets that cover me. My sister's face looms close in the moonlight, eyes wide, her hand covering her mouth, fingers splayed and shaking. Her words hit home. Our roof is on fire? We live in a thatched cottage, the frame made of wood, the house surrounded by forest. Are we in the process of being burned alive? Throwing the covers off, I look upwards, seeking evidence of the burning roof. When I neither see nor smell evidence of a fire, I turn to my sister with a quizzical expression.
Afia, what are you talking about?
I ask her. Afia sucks her lips and rolls her eyes, pulling me off the bed and over to the window.
The factory, stupid girl!
She hisses, and points a trembling arm to the west. Now I see the smoke. It billows through the night sky, casting a shadow across the moon.
Father?
I clutch Afia's arm.
He's gone to the factory to see if he can help,
she replies, as she struggles to open the window. I pull her back, worried that if the window is open, all that black smoke will engulf our room, drag us down, and swallow us whole with the noxious gas.
Don't open it, Afia. Come away from there.
But Afia swats me away like an irritating fly and moves towards the door. She pauses, her hand on the doorknob, and with her back to me, she speaks.
Look out for Mama. She's going to need you, Sissy.
These days, almost 30 years after that night, I go over those words time and time again. When I used to hear sirens, which was most days and nights when I lived in London, my heart would race and I would hurry to a window to seek evidence of a burning building or a national disaster. Even when the sirens faded away, I'm there, stuck in 1986 in my town of Pripyat. I'm watching the nuclear plant burn and only half listening as my sister says her goodbyes. If I had have known that they were the last words she would ever speak to me, I would have listened a lot harder. Chapter 1. Alex and Elian, London, June 2nd, 2015. He watches her for a while before he plans his move. And from watching her, he understands that, although she appears timid and reserved, there is an underlying core of steel. He appreciates her physically. She is not conventionally pretty like the blonde, catalogue model types he usually pursues, but rather striking, edgy and fascinating. Her mixed-race skin is smooth and well cared for, with a springy appearance that only comes from youth. But he is not interested in wooing her. It might be a byproduct. It might actually be necessary, but only a means to the end. He follows her for weeks. He knows that she uses the Italian laundrette and he wonders why. Has she not got a washing machine in her flat or a communal laundry for the residents? She shops regularly at the Tesco Express in New Cavendish Street, late at night when the fruit and bread are reduced. Once a week, usually on a Saturday, she allows herself a meal out, either at Scandinavian Kitchen or Picture. Frequently she visits Rollo, Josh Lilly, or the Wolf Gallery. But he suspects this is more out of boredom than a genuine love of art. Wherever she goes, she stays within a 3-mile radius of her flat.